Jesus, he came to do three things. He came to bring us the Word of life, bring us the Word of God, and to tell us about the kingdom of heaven, to tell us about eternity. Secondly, he came to pay the price for our sins on the cross. And thirdly, he came to be raised from the dead, to make the way for us to go to heaven and have eternal lives. And Jesus did every single one of those. And what we are benefiting from today is that salvation, and we are benefiting from the revealed Word of God. That Jesus came to tell us the will of the Father. He came to give us the Word of God that we needed to know what is pleasing to God, how to live for God, what this life is about, and to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus came to bring the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Well, God did. God had sent John the Baptist before Jesus. God sent John the Baptist to get the people primed, get their hearts primed for the Word of God that was coming from Jesus. And so John came preaching the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, which was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John came preaching that, and people were coming, confessing their sins and being baptized by John. But then John was arrested. And it is then after John was arrested that Jesus took over, if you will, and began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom of heaven, which was the same message, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know, just as a side note, I've been thinking recently that I turned 30 years old. Can you believe that? 30 years old. But you know, Jesus was 30 when he began his ministry. That's my age. And I'm trying to even fathom that, of thinking of Jesus at my age, and that 3 years later he would die on the cross. But that's what he came to do. Jesus came preaching, and so what Jesus did was he went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching the people in their synagogues, going about from place to place, and even healing people, casting out demons, doing all kind of great things for the people, and taking their sickness away. And great crowds were coming to Jesus to be healed from him, or for him to heal them, and coming to listen to him teach, coming to listen to the things that he was saying. So if you will, picture in your mind and imagine that one bright sunny day, as Jesus is being followed by all the people, Jesus goes up on the side of a mountain. And his disciples come to him, and then all the people gather around wanting to see and hear Jesus. And Jesus, seeing all the people and his disciples with him, Jesus, we're told in Matthew 5:2, opened his mouth and began to teach them. And what we have in the next three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is the teachings that Jesus gave. And we call it the Sermon on the Mount. It was a time when Jesus spent giving many lessons. And what we've been doing for the past few months is we've been looking at each one of these lessons, taking our time. Because there's a lot to think about, there's a lot to be said. Now the people then had to take it and they had to chew on it. And we're trying to make sure that we're understanding all the things. Because everything Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount, it nearly pretty much covers everything about our life as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And how we are to live, how we are to be, how we are to act. And we have talked about the Beatitudes, of what it is to be poor in spirit, what it is to mourn for our sins, what it is to be meek, to be merciful, to be a peacemaker, to be pure in heart, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We've talked about how Jesus said we're to be the salt and light of the earth, and that our righteousness is to exceed that of those of the world. And we've talked about anger in our hearts, talked about hatred in our hearts. We've talked about adultery in our hearts and that of lust. We've talked about divorce and how God hates divorce. We've talked about our word being honest and true. We've talked about loving our enemies. We've talked about being willing to go the extra mile and to suffer wrong just to show love and keep peace. We've talked about how we are to live righteously for God's praise, not ours. For the glory of God, not our own. We've been taught how to pray to God and rely on God, to trust in God. We've been taught to lay up treasures in heaven and not on this earth. And how we're not to worry. We can't serve God and money. We're not to worry that God is going to take care of us. That God loves us. And we've seen how we are not to judge people hypocritically. We are not to be hypocrites and not to condemn, but we are to love and to help and to be humble and to serve our God. And we've learned, as God has called us, as Jesus said, that we are to come to ask, to seek, to knock, trusting in the Lord. We have seen, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, that we are to treat others the way we want to be treated. Lesson that we learn. We're to treat others the way we want to be treated. Those are all the lessons that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount. And it was last week, last Sunday, we came to where Jesus begins to make his conclusion. Remember last week, if you were here, we talked from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 about Jesus says to come enter the narrow gate. Take the narrow path. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. Easy it is that leads to destruction. And many go in by. But narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. And so what we're left with is a choice. We've heard the Word of God. We've heard what Jesus has taught us in bringing us God's Word. And what Jesus does with any lesson is now what? It is the question of what am I going to do with it? Now we've come to that fork in the road where we have the narrow way which leads to life, and we have the broad way which leads to destruction, and we're left with a choice. Which are we going to take? Are we going to take the easy way of the world and enjoying sin, which leads to destruction? Or are we going to take the more challenging way of being a Christian so that we can have eternal life with God in heaven? And that's how Jesus began to make his conclusion. Well, this morning we're going to finish because Jesus gives us more to think about in concluding his sermon. He's going to give us two warnings and a parable to think about to finally finish his teaching on this day. So if you would, open with me to Matthew chapter 7. If you've not already, let's open up to Matthew chapter 7 together. Now we're going to begin in verse 15 this morning. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 15, the first thing that Jesus tells us, it's about how we are going to know those who are truly God's and those who are not. And a warning about what is out there in this world when he begins and says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So what Jesus warns us about is there are going to be people that he refers to as false prophets or false teachers. There are going to be people who are going to come teaching things that are not truly the Word of God. And they do not fit the Word of God. It is something different from the Word of God in some way or fashion. But he says, well, we've got to be careful because they're going to come look, they're going to appear to be good. They're going to come in sheepskin clothing. And everything is going to look fine. Hey, that sounds pretty good. That can't be that bad. But he says, inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They're not telling you the truth. Do not be deceived. We'll say, well, how are we going to know? How are we going to know when somebody's not teaching or practicing the truth? Well, it says easy. Here's how you know. Verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. What does that mean? Well, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from trees? No. So even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear a good fruit. Yeah, a good tree can't bear bad fruit can't bear, you get it. A bad tree can't bear good fruit, a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you know them. Well, what does that mean? Well, what Jesus is saying is you're going to know by the things they're saying and the things they're teaching whether or not it's true. Because what we're going to have is we're going to have the Word of God right here. And so if somebody comes teaching and saying something and practicing something that doesn't fit this right here, then we know, wait a minute, that's not right. That doesn't fit what God has told us in His Word. And we're going to know by the way they live, by their actions, by their conduct. Is it righteous? Is it true? Is it holy? Does it match the conduct that we see here? You know, if somebody came along and said, well, you know, yeah, you can just divorce for any reason. You know, if you don't like her cooking or you don't like the way he leaves his socks on the kitchen counter, you can divorce him or her. Say, well, wait a minute. Well, what did Jesus say about that? Or if somebody comes saying, oh, man, you need to, you know, get all the riches you can and just, don't worry about all that other, you know, spiritual stuff. Just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Have a good old time. Well, wait a minute. Does that fit what's in? So it's not hard. We take what we hear. We take what we see. We match it up to God's Word. And we can say, we can point out whether somebody's really following God or teaching the truth or not. And so Jesus gives us that one. We've got to be careful because we got to be careful of those who might come teaching things that aren't right. But also, we got to make sure we're not the ones teaching something that's not right. We've got to check ourselves. We've got to examine ourselves. Am I teaching really what God has said? Am I living really what God has said? We're known, all of us are known by our fruits. We're going to be known by how we act and what we say and what we do. We're known by our fruits. So what fruits are we showing? Are we showing the fruits of righteousness? Or are we showing the fruits of the world? I mean, Galatians chapter 5, Paul said the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, murder, lie. I mean, he lists, we know what sin is, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, those are of God. So we know the fruits of the world. We know the fruits of God. And we're to be bearing fruits of repentance. You know, in John, when John was baptizing people, before he was arrested, some of the Pharisees and scribes and people came, and he knew they weren't really there sincerely. And he says, what are you doing here? He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, or worthy of repentance. He says, you can't just come here and act like you're really going to change. You've got to change. You've got to show the fruit, show that you really have changed. And so we're going to be known by our fruits, and are we bearing fruits of righteousness, the good fruit, or not? Secondly, the second warning he gives us, it's rather startling in some ways, in a lot of ways. He says, beginning in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name? We've done many wonders in your name. But I will then declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so Jesus warns us here that there are going to be people come judgment day. There are going to be people who say, oh yeah, you know, Lord, Lord, He's our Lord, He's our Savior. Oh yeah, we love God. And it's Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, well, not everyone who claims that, not everyone who says that is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? I mean, Jesus says there's many are going to come and say, well, but Lord, you remember all those things we did in your name? We did this, we did this, and what do you mean we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, Jesus points out in verse 23, and the conclusion is really, although they appeared to be godly, although they appeared to be quote-unquote religious, they were still living in sin. And you can't do that. That although they would claim the name of Christ, although they would claim to love and serve God, again, it goes back to we're known by our fruits. And God is going to know whether we really love Him or not, whether we're really faithful to Him or not. And so Jesus is saying there's going to be some who will claim, oh yeah, I'm all for God and Jesus and that, you know, Bible stuff. And I go to church and I do this and, but are we really living it? Are we bearing the fruits of righteousness? Or does Jesus see, does God see that although we may appear to put on an act or to appear to be religious, really we're not living it for Him? That's what we all got to ask ourselves, because I sure don't want to hear this. I sure don't want to be told to depart from me. I don't want to come to just say, well, but... And so we got to live it. And we got to do it. Which brings us to the final point He makes. He gives a parable. And I want to make one point before we move on from that. Back in our last point is when Jesus elsewhere said in the Gospel of Luke, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That's what Jesus had asked. Jesus had asked, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I say? So see, we can't call God our God or Jesus our Lord. We can't say that if we're not actually living for Him. And so we've got to do it, which brings us to this parable that He gives, beginning in verse 24, when He says, therefore, and here's the summation of it all, therefore whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Okay. So we have a little parable here. On one side, we've got a man who's building a house. And he wants to make sure that he sets it on a good foundation, a good solid foundation that will keep the house stable and secure. And so he digs deep. He digs down to that rock and makes sure that's where he puts his foundation and he builds his house. Well, then the rains came, storms come, blew on that house, beat against it, and the house didn't fall. Well, over here, you've got a guy who, well, he didn't want to put that much effort into it, and he just wanted to get it done, so he just built it right on the sand with no solid foundation. And the winds and the storms came and blew onto the house, beat it, and it fell. It was destroyed. So, question. Which contractor are you hiring? Which house would we want? Would we want the house that's on solid ground that can withstand the things of nature? Or are we going to choose the house that has no solid foundation and is just bound to collapse on top of you? Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course we're going to pick the one we know is going to stand and is not going to fall. So why does Jesus give this parable? Because it's the same thing when it comes to the Word of God. Jesus says the ones who hear my words and act and do them will be like the wise man. They will be built on a solid foundation. They will be it will be okay. Over here we've got a foolish man who hears the words of God but doesn't do them. Well, what do you think is going to happen to him? And so as Jesus told us, we've got a choice. As we talk about the narrow way versus the broad way. And he tells us the outcome. The narrow way leads to life, the broad way leads to destruction. So which way are you going to take? One house is going to stand tall, one house is going to fall apart. So what choice are we going to make? It's a no-brainer when it comes to the Word of God. God says that if we will come to Him, believe, and obey Him, we'll be saved and we'll have eternal life and we'll go to heaven. But if we have the Word of God and we know the Word of God and we don't do the Word of God, then we're going to hell. So, which one do we want? Do we want heaven? Or do we want hell? And it's really not hard to understand. And so Jesus gives these powerful conclusions to everything He has said. He's given us all these lessons. That this is how we're to live. This is how we're to be. This is the standard of morality we're to live by. This is what is holiness. It clearly tells us about sin, what is sinful. It tells us about all the good things of holiness and righteousness and love, joy, and hope and peace with God. All the blessings, the spiritual blessings are in here, and all the curses and punishments are in here too. And so it's up to us to take the Word of God. Here it is, we have it. Now what are we going to do? And every single one of us is going to make that choice every single day. At the end of the day, God leaves it up to me. God's done His part. God's done His part. It's right here. And He gives it to us and says, okay, what are you going to do? And that's what Jesus is challenging the people with and putting to them, saying, I've taught you these things. Now are you going to believe it? Are you in faith going to obey it and actually live it and do it? Are we going to be doers of the Word? James said essentially the same thing in James chapter 1, that we're not to be hearers only. Because just hearing the Word of God isn't going to do us anything. It's actually doing the Word of God that will bring us eternal life with God. And so again, it's left to us. What is our choice? Are we going to take the narrow way or the broad way? Are we going to choose to live for God or not? And it's really that simple. And I hope and I pray that everybody here this morning will make the choice to follow and obey God. God is a God of love, God of mercy, a God of grace. He'll forgive anything we've done. And we'll have an eternal home in heaven. And why would we not want that? And we got to understand that hell is real, and that's not what we want to want, where we want to wind up. And so we have the Word of God. He tells us what to do. It's right there, plain as day. But is it getting to our hearts? And are we going to do it? If you would, let's go to God in prayer together. Our wonderful Father, our God in heaven, we praise Your holy name. Dear God, we are thankful for Your Word that we call the Bible. We're thankful that You've revealed it to us and You've shown us Your severity towards sin so we know where that leads. We're thankful, dear God, that You've shown us Your grace so we know where that will lead us. And dear God, we have Your Word and we know Your commandments and we know what You want of us, what You expect of us. And dear God, I pray that each of us here this morning, that we will commit to doing it. That we will listen to Your words, that we will believe it in faith, and that we will in faith act on it and give our hearts to you fully, and to give you glory in all things. Dear God, help us to be doers of your word. Help us to see the joys of heaven and the joys of being with you for eternity in heaven. And help us also see how terrible and frightening hell is. And that we will realize that's not where we want to go, and that we want to be with you in heaven. And help us to act on that. Allow your love and your mercy to move us, to control us, and to give our lives to you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to give us your word. Thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. And thank you, dear God, for raising him from the dead and giving us hope of eternal life. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Go ahead and get your songbooks out. Open up to the song selected this morning. Once you've done that, if you could return your attention up here, we'll finish with a final word from Jesus. Again, God has clearly shown us the outcome of eternity, one or the other, heaven or hell. But again, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, is that we have a God who loves us and is merciful, who by his grace will forgive us. And so Jesus, when he had his disciples and sent them out, he had said that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And Mark's account, that we're told, go spread the gospel, the good news to everyone. And baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to obey all things that I have commanded you. Jesus sent them out to teach the gospel, the good news that we can be forgiven. And then here he says that to teach them everything that I've taught you, so they will know how to live and what to do. And that's what we have here for us. And so Jesus said that those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who do not believe will be punished, will be condemned, will be lost. And so this morning, if you're here and not a Christian, you have a choice to make. And I pray that you'll listen, that you listen carefully. And I pray that you will see the reality of sin. That as Paul said, we've all sinned. I've sinned, we've all sinned. Fall short of the glory of God. And that you'll know that Jesus died for you. He suffered on the cross to pay for your sins and for my sins. But I pray that you will see the love and grace and mercy of God, that God wants you to be in heaven with him, and he will forgive you. That if you will believe, that if you will repent, confess your faith in Jesus, and be baptized, washing your sins away, you can be part of the kingdom of heaven and be with God for eternity. But I can't make you do it. Only you can make it do. So the question is up to you. The choice is yours. What will you do? Where will you spend eternity? If we can help you obey the gospel this morning, come now as we stand and sing this song.